Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
And welcome back to episode 2 of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime, season 3, with me, your host, AP Fuchs. So, welcome to the show. Last show, we got the intro stuff out of the way for the season, so that all that overview stuff is taken care of, so now we can kind of like do the show, if that makes sense. So, that's what we're doing today. So, right now, like a quick update on Creativity 2024. Everything is more or less on track. I'm sorry to say that the Battle of Power trilogy from the Axiom Man saga will not be out on time before the year is out. It has nothing to do with the creativity side of it, doing the stories and that sort of thing. That part's all taken care of. It's an issue of some of the logistics that myself and some others have no control over. It's the first time it's happened. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. So it's a bit of bad news, and I apologize for that, but rest assured, it's not an issue of the work not being done. It's an issue of elements outside of creative control. So we just have to sort of ride that little storm out, and then once it's done, then we can get the books out to you. So just hang in there. It's coming. And this, like I said, this Battle of Power trilogy is super important to the Axiom Man saga because it is the final story arc that wraps up the overall first act of the Axiom Man storyline. So there's going to be 3 acts. That's the plan. So this one wraps up act number 1. So this is really important. And what's also really cool is I won't get too much into it because I don't want to spoil anything. But basically this arc, this final chunk of story, gets Axiom Man to be the hero that he was meant to be all the way back since book number 1. This has all been planned for the past almost 20 years. And finally he gets to be where I wanted him to be, but I wanted to start the storyline way at the beginning because I'm a huge proponent of the idea that the Hollywood version of a superhero is nonsense, meaning, you know, person gets powers, person has a short period of figuring out the powers, and then suddenly they're an expert superhero. It doesn't work that way, ever, right? So I wanted to do the opposite, where it's how it would work in real life, right? We got... get your powers, you got to figure out how they work, you got to figure out how you work in terms of where that now fits in the world, where it fits in your life, all sorts of stuff, right? So all that stuff needed to be explored, because when you look at a character, especially a superhero character, you are not just looking at them, right? You're not just looking at the costume, you're not just looking at the powers, you're not looking at the super feats that they're doing. When you see them, you also see them, meaning you see their backstory, you see their origin, you see their thought process, you see their personality, their character, you see an actual person, right? And the only way to create that actual person is to load them up with a bunch of life. And they've done that, of course, with like guys like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, etc. So I did the same thing with Axiom Man. I want it so that when the reader looks at him or reads about his exploits, etc., they're not just getting the story in terms of what he's doing or what he looks like, but they're also getting him as a person while he's doing things. And that's really, really important, and that adds a lot of depth to the overall superhero character, you know, and the genre in general. And that's actually one of the reasons why we gravitate towards certain heroes, is because some of them do have that depth, and some of that depth we could relate to, right? All of us have certain feelings, in terms of, say, Batman, darker stuff. All of us, too, have feelings in terms of idealism and hope, like Superman, right? And so we all get involved with these characters that way, and that's what sets them apart and what partly informs our favorite heroes out of all the gambit of superheroes out there. So I wanted to do the same thing with Axiom Man. I wanted the readers to have this sort of, a lot of connecting points with him along his journey. Places where they could read and they can go, oh yeah, I've been there, or oh yeah, you know, I know what that feels like, or oh yeah, you know what, if I was in his shoes and I had those powers, that's exactly what I would do, or you know what, if I had his powers and I was in his shoes, I would not do that because I'm different. but he did that and it's fitting to the character. So stuff like that. So that's why this story arc is very important. And that's why I am disappointed that I can't get out to you as soon as I'd like to. But rest assured, it will be out and it's going to be soon. I just got to write out this little storm of logistical nonsense. So once that's done, in your hands. Okay, enough. Let's get on to the story before the story. Okay, so story before the story. So last episode, I gave just a general overview on like what that's going to be about. And then I said it's going to be done topically because we don't want to segue into like a pile of different areas and then get off the main point. So if we talk about story and we haven't yet addressed maybe what's on your mind at the moment, most likely we will further down the line. So keep listening to the episodes to get informed of that. So for this particular one, the question is, what is a story and why do we need it? Why as people do we need stories, right? We have this built-in need to be part of stories, whether that story is something in a comic or in a book or on a movie. You know, we use it for escape. I don't believe that. I wrote an essay on that as to why entertainment is not an escape. It's actually an immersion into real life just through a fictitious lens. But that's a whole other discussion and we can get into that some other time. But we need a story. And one of the reasons we need stories is because our lives personally and our lives like as part of being part of this world, it's chaos. Okay, let's be honest. It's chaos. You don't know the future, right? So you don't know what your day is going to bring. You may have plans, sure, but we all know that those plans don't always go according to plan, right? And same on the world stage, right? There's plans for different things, hopefully for the better, of course, and then things don't get carried out as we'd like to. So we're stuck in this sort of swirl of what ifs and a little bit of chaos, and it's hard. It's hard for our brains for that, right? Like our brains have a tendency to look for patterns in chaos in order to make sense of things. Right. And so that's why we need stories. Stories are not just limited to, you know, text on a page or pictures in a comic, you know, or just a little strip on your Saturday morning cartoons or whatever it might be, you know, an audiobook, whatever. A story is something that happens. It's a series of events, typically with a beginning, middle, and end. But the end doesn't necessarily mean end as in like everything's wrapped up nice. End means simply that the story's over, you know, and we need that. We need that sort of conclusion, called closure, if you'd like, to any one of our problems, right? Big or small, that we face on a daily basis, or even good things that we face on a daily basis, big or small. We need some sort of conclusion to it. We need to say, you know, check mark, yes, this has been done off the list, right? And one of the ways we do that is we take that chaos, that unknown future, and as we're experiencing the events that are occurring, whether good events or bad events, we're making a story out of it. We're making sense out of the picture. We're telling ourselves a narrative of what's going on during those moments that event is going on. And by doing so, our brains are able to then hash out the material, process it accordingly, and then we could respond as people to the circumstance, you know, again, good or bad, right? So we need stories basically to make sense of things, right? Whether those stories are fictitious, whether those stories are non-fictitious, either way, we need stories. We need some sort of linear, I guess you could say, chunk of information to make sense of a crooked path, right? Because again, like I said, life in and of itself, as a whole, is a crooked path. I mean, there's no straight lines. If there was straight lines, we'd all be miles ahead to wherever we want to be in life. But it's not. We have to do the curves. We have to go around the trees, go through the bushes and all the rest, right? So we do stories to help us with that. And as we go about our day, as we go about our week, as we go about our year, we're creating a narrative. And what's even cooler is, let's just say something happens in, let's just say March, right? Whatever the event might be. It could be anything. And then another thing happens in June. Now, because you made a story out of the events in March, when you experience the unknown in June, you could look back on that story and say, oh yeah, I read that book and I learned something from that. And I can apply that lesson from that story, from that particular narrative for that particular time to the current circumstance now. Again, good or bad, it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't always have to be bad news, right? Like circumstances are circumstances. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not. So that's what we can do. Is like stories are our lives teacher. When we put stories to our lives and apply a narrative to our lives, we tend to remember things better. We tend to act on things better. And again, we have, like, as the March June example, we have an opportunity to look back on our past stories and learn something from them and then apply them to our current situation to make a story so that we can make sense out of what we're doing. So stories are everywhere and they're a part of life. Whether we realize we're making stories or not, we are making stories. Everyone's making stories. And just as a fun side note, I mean, you look at the world as a whole, we really are making it up as we're going along. Like, no one knows what they're doing. Everyone's just winging it. And it's kind of funny that way. But at the same time, by winging it, you have the opportunity to write your own story. So I'm going to leave you with that thought, okay? Stories are made to make sense of the chaos, and you have the power to write your own. And it's only up to you if you want to do it or if you're going to let somebody else do it. All right, let's get to story time. Relax, close your eyes, and listen to a little tale. Beneath. My wife Moira and I have no idea if this transmission will reach the surface. From what we understand, communication with the above ground has been met with silence. We hope you weren't overtaken by the runners, those mutant bastards who drove us all down beneath the Earth's surface to begin with. I'm sending this via the radio setup put in place when we originally got down here 8 years ago. No one has come and gone since, but those of us beneath and those of us above, well, we all know each other. Moira's pregnant. A dumb move on my part, I know. We didn't take precaution and now we have a little life on the way in just under 8 months. Call it ensuring survival of the species, but, as said, there was an active insurance of survival on my part. Things happen. But, in the end, I guess it doesn't matter. These caves won't hold up much longer. The structural supports keeping the roof up were put together in haste and by engineers still learning their trade. The walls have begun to crumble around us. I can't even remember how far down we are anymore. 1,000 feet? 2,000? More? In the end, I fear, we're all going to be dead. Most of the exit ways that were once bright hallways of hope for when the war above was over have collapsed. Some men are working to try and dig a way out. They could be added past a lifetime, depending on how much there is. As for Moira and I, we're holed up in the transmission room with the walls shaking and a few paltry food items that might, see us through the next few days, a week at the most. The door to this room got blocked by a huge hunk of rock that fell just on the other side of the door. I've been working on prying at the hinges with a measly wrench, but it's slow going, and I'm barely doing more than scratching the framing. At least it gives Moira hope. It makes her believe there's a chance, however slim, for her unborn child. Personally, I think she's lost all concept of time and doesn't understand we don't have what we need in here for the remaining months of gestation, never mind the remaining days until this whole place falls on us and kills us. I want to personally thank you up there for your service. No matter what's happening with the war, I'm sure you've held out as long as you could. I've seen firsthand what those venom sprays from their mouths do to people, so I salute you from the depths of my heart for fighting for us. Hang on. A wall is crumbling beside me. Where's Moira? Moira! Oh no. Her face. Her head. Moira.
Thank you.
thanks for sticking around to after the credits. And this one, I just wanted to offer a little bit of encouragement. We started this episode with talking about stories and why we need them and how important they are. And, you know, sometimes it feels like our life story is over. It feels like the narrative's run out. It feels like the book's come to an end. The paragraph stopped halfway, even mid-sentence. And suddenly, there's nothing. And there's no more story. And we feel that way. And that's a completely valid feeling. It's allowed. It's 100% allowed. And there's many, 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 many other people in the world who feel the same way. So please know that you're not alone at all in this. And but like I said in this story before the story part, I said, you know, you do have the opportunity to write your own story. So even if it feels like your story's come to an end, you know, that's okay. You know, when you're writing a story, you got to stop. You can't write a book start to finish. I mean, you could try, I guess, but in the end, you know, you write some, you take a break, you write some, you take a break, and so on until it's done. And, you know, the same could happen for life. Your story got abruptly cut off in whatever circumstance, and now you have the opportunity to write it. But you also have the opportunity to step away. You don't have to be at the typewriter right away, you know? So if you're in a place where your story's stopped and you're not ready to pick up the pen and start writing your own, that's okay. Take some time, process, think, reflect, feel. That's very important. Never run from your feelings. Always sit in the feeling. Even if it's uncomfortable and terrible, it's better to have a breakdown and a cry than to bottle it up inside, because eventually it's going to come out. So, you know, take the time you need. Dust off that typewriter. Make sure all the keys are intact. Make sure you got some paper. Make sure you got some ink and all that stuff. And you know where I'm going with this metaphor, right? And then when you're ready, then you can sit down and pick up the story again. You know, and even if it's a few words at a time, that's totally okay. You know, if you have a whole giant chapter to write, then get that out and get it done. But if you only have a few sentences because you're at a loss for words, because that's where your story's at, that's totally cool too. And you just do your best, you know, one word in front of the other. Any writer would tell you that's how stories are made, typing one word in front of the other until you're done. I think Neil Gaiman talked about that. And it's the same with life, man. You know what? It's one word in front of the other. It's one foot in front of the other. Some days it's an inch that you go forward. Other days it's an entire foot. Sometimes it's even a mile. But the point is to keep moving forward. So, if your story stopped, please know that you're not the only one with a partially finished book. And just take some comfort in that, to know that you're not alone, that you are cared for, and that there are people out there who do love you, even if they don't know you. They love the others who are feeling the same way. And then when you're ready, sit down at that typewriter and take the power that's yours and write your story. Cheers.